Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, would you read together with me the title of our message, The Kingdom Battle. Based on our gospel reading from Mark 1, listen to these verses. And Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts and the angels were ministering to him. But then Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Again, our title, The Kingdom Battle, and I encourage you to follow along with your worship handout as you'll find there the outline for the sermon. Tears were streaming down Elmer Johnson's face on the day of his farm auction. Truck after truck were pulling away from his farmyard, hauling away with them the things of his life that he treasured for many years. Like many farmers on the prairies in Alberta, he was no longer able to keep his family farm. The farm that his family had owned for three generations, Elmer was just glad that his dad and granddad weren't there that day to see the auction. Elmer just couldn't make a living anymore farming. He felt oppressed, victimized, and powerless. Have you ever felt like that? That feeling of being oppressed and victimized and powerless is what the work of Satan, the devil, is all about. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of oppression and hopelessness. And in this season of the church year called Lent, we have one major theme, the kingdom battle. Jesus has come to confront and defeat the devil along with his kingdom of oppression and evil. In today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 1, we see it very clearly. The kingdom of oppression strikes. The devil is at work in the wilderness where Jesus went to be alone with his Father in heaven to pray to get ready for his 3-year earthly ministry that would climax at the cross. In this wilderness, Jesus goes head to head and toe to toe with the devil who didn't want him to go to the cross. And the very first words of Jesus' public ministry, the first words he spoke in public are recorded in Mark 1:15. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Translation, devil, here I am. Here I am, and I'm bringing the fight to you. The time of your evil kingdom of oppression is soon over. We can almost hear Jesus saying to the devil, come on, bring it on. Let's get ready to rumble. Let the kingdom battle begin. Look around in your life today, won't you? Evil and oppression are seen everywhere we turn. Every form of oppression that blocks the fullness of life as God intends hints at this central truth. The devil is at work in our world and in our personal lives. But St. Paul tells us, and I quote, St. Paul says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities of this evil age. Here is a hint that the devil is at work in things like disease and poverty and war and prejudice and bitterness and unforgiveness and self-righteousness. Now, my friends, you are more able more than able to search your own lives and the lives of others and recognize the oppression by the powers of evil. But the good news of St. Mark's gospel today is this: the kingdom of God is at hand. Oppression and evil and the devil have been, are being, and one day will completely be destroyed by our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So says Holy Scripture, the kingdom of freedom strikes back. And right after this encounter of Jesus in the wilderness with Satan, Mark records in his gospel, in rapid fire, one right after the other, account after account of kingdom battles. In Mark 1, 23 and following, we read, "And just then there was in the Capernaum synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, and Jesus rebuked him and said, 'Be still and come out.'" This was the very first thing that happened when Jesus left the wilderness with the devil. He encountered a man oppressed by the devil, and this man is set free by Jesus. This unclean spirit, this demon, was cast out. And here is the sure sign that the kingdom of God is at hand. Chalk one up for the good guys. Now, for any of my members of our present, just currently finished Book of Revelation class, this kingdom battle reminds us of a theme of the Book of Revelation, indeed the theme of the whole Bible. The class chant that we spoke together week after week, if you're one of those class members, will you say it with me? God wins, the bad guys lose, and Jesus reigns. Next in Mark's gospel, Jesus strikes down a serious illness. We read, "And immediately after that, they came out of the synagogue. And they came to the house of Simon and John, and Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick near to death with the fever. And Jesus came to her and raised her up, and the fever left her." This is funny. "And then she waited upon them." Well, what a busy day for Jesus. Just moments after he left the wilderness, just moments after the Capernaum synagogue and the man possessed with the demon, Jesus now heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Another victim of oppression is set free. Another sign that, yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. And the very next day in Mark's gospel, Jesus strikes down the horrible disease of leprosy. Listen to Mark 1, verse 40. "And a leper came to Jesus, begging him, 'Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Leprosy was the most dreaded disease of that time. The people who had leprosy were considered unworthy of God's love. They were even considered cursed by God. They were kicked out of their families, out of their communities. They had to live in places like garbage dumps. But with just a word from his loving lips, Jesus restores this poor man, body and soul. And you guessed it. Another sign the kingdom of God is at hand. Chalk up another one for the good guys. And just a few days later in Mark's gospel, we see Jesus striking down prejudice. Mark 2 says this, "And it happened that Jesus was reclining at the table in the house of Levi the tax collector. And many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus. And the scribes and Pharisees said, 'Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus told them," you have to love it, "'I have not come to call you so-called righteous, but I've come for the sinners.'" Jesus was having a dinner with tax collectors and other sinners, people the religious leaders of that day thought were undesirable and had no place in God's place of worship. But Jesus both demonstrates and declares that God's care for people in need is far more important than loveless religious rules. Another sign that what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Where God's kingdom is, are you catching it? Where God's kingdom is at work, victims are freed. Oppression is stopped. Satanic powers are shut down. This is the kingdom battle. But there's even more good news. Look at your sermon outline for today. One could say in Holy Scripture, it's a never-ending battle between God and the forces of the devil. In Holy Scripture, one could say we find a 7-round kingdom battle. If you've ever seen a prize fight, if you've ever seen a professional boxing match, you know that the entire boxing match is divided into rounds. Certain length of time when the fighting is going on, and then a brief rest period. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to fight the kingdom battle. And we can see this battle in Scripture by 7 rounds. There in front of you. Here we go. Round 1. His birth at Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2 says this, "And when she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, she wrapped him in cloths, she laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn." Jesus, God in human flesh, is born into this world and enters the very dominion and powers of the forces of the devil. He comes to meet the devil on his own turf, where he is operating in the lives of mankind. Jesus' birth, listen carefully, Jesus' birth is the beginning of the end of the power of Satan. Round 2 is in the wilderness, where Jesus goes to prepare himself for his ministry. Our text from today. In Matthew chapter 4, and by the way, Luke 4, we have a more extensive account that tells us what happened in that wilderness encounter. The devil tries all kinds of temptations to talk Jesus from going to that cross. He tempts him with the riches and power of the world. And 3 times Jesus fights him by saying these glorious words, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Showing us the only way to fight the lies and temptations of the devil is by the power of God's holy word. And here's a commercial. That is why you hear your pastor say so often, you need to be faithful in your hearing of God's word proclaimed in the sermon. You are encouraged to be faithful participants in Bible study and reading the scriptures at home so you can send the devil packing. It is written. Round 3 is in various locations in Palestine. Remember all the rapid fire accounts in Mark's gospel? In just 3 days after Jesus left the wilderness encounter with the devil, Jesus won a number of glorious kingdom battles, defeating demons, defeating illness, defeating leprosy, defeating self-righteous religious prejudice. Round 4 takes place on the cross of Mount Calvary. In Matthew 27:46, we hear Jesus crying these words from the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The clearest definition of hell is this: being separated from and being forsaken by God. And this is the very hell that Jesus suffered for you and for me and for all mankind, as upon that cross he bore our sins. He bore our sins so we would not have to bear them. He was forsaken by his Father in heaven so we would never be forsaken by him. He suffered the hell of separation as the holiness of God turned away from the filth of our sins that Jesus was bearing for us. What a kingdom battle. And you know what I'm going to say next. On that cross on a Friday, the devil might have thought he won. See, I finally got you. Your lifeblood is being poured out. Well, you know what? It may have been a Friday. But Sunday was coming. And on Easter Sunday, our Lord showed the devil, rubbed his face into it and said, I'm back. I'm back. And this brings us to the next round. Round 5 is in Jerusalem. At a place of death, at a gravesite, at a tomb where Jesus' body was laid after his crucifixion, Matthew 28 tells us this. The angel said to the women, he's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Easter Sunday, he is risen. The victory has been won. Defeated is death. Defeated is the grave. Defeated is sin. Defeated is the devil. And my friends, Jesus' resurrection is but a foretaste and a promise of your resurrection and your victory on that final day. The kingdom battle has been won for us, has been fought for us. Round 6. Round 6 is found in Richmond, British Columbia. Round 6 is found in Trinity Lutheran Church. Round 6 is found in your personal lives and your own private homes. Round 6 is found in our present sinful world. In Matthew 16, Peter makes this great confession of faith to Christ. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in response to that, Jesus speaks a promise to Peter that's meant for promise for Peter. It's also meant for us today. Jesus said, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The promise of our Lord is this. The confession of faith in Jesus, the proclamation of the gospel, is the rock upon which our Lord has and is and will build his church. And appearances to the contrary, the very forces and kingdom of the devil will never overcome the Lord's church. My friends, in this kingdom battle, hear me very carefully. You do not stand alone. The fellowship of the Christian church, the place where God's word and his sacraments are given out freely, there is your strength. Now, some may say, you've heard him say it. I've heard him say it. I don't need the church. I don't need to gather for public worship. I don't need to attend Bible classes. I can do this all by myself. And that, my friends, is what makes the devil smile and lick his lips. That's what makes a person easy prey to the lies and temptations of the devil. In this kingdom battle, don't forget, you have fellow soldiers who stand right by your side. You don't stand alone in the church. Round 7, the final round, is the final battle at the end of the world. In the book of Revelation, it's called Armageddon. Here comes the final result of this final kingdom battle. Listen carefully to Revelation 20. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the text goes on. But God will be with his people. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death, any mourning, any crying, or any pain. To put it simply, on that day, the battle will finally be done. As we said earlier, God wins, the bad guys lose, and Jesus reigns. That glorious day is coming, my friends. But hear me again so carefully. Until that final day, while you are in the midst of your own personal kingdom battles, you may feel like a little child watching a parade through just a knothole in a fence. Imagine a little boy watching a parade, and the only view he's got is through a little knothole, a hole in the fence, at his own eye level. All that he can see is what, at that moment, passes by that small eye hole. It may be frustrating for him. It may be even scary. What's coming next? Who's in charge of those big lions? Am I safe? Will I get any of the candy that's being thrown? I can't see the entire parade. But then his father comes by. And with his father's loving hands, he lifts them first upon his own shoulders and then upon a rooftop. And from that rooftop, that little boy can see the entire parade from start to finish. All the glories of the clowns and the jugglers and the marching band. All the wild animals he can see now, they're completely under the control of the parade masters. And his father will be sure to protect him, and his father will make sure that he gets the best candy that's being thrown out. My friends, perhaps today you can only see the kingdom battle through a knothole in the fence by what comes into your life day after day. You may be asking, dear God, what's coming next? But never forget, you are in your Father's arms. And by simple trusting faith in him, you can be confident, you can be sure the rooftop view is yours. Both day to day and eternally, you can know for sure the kingdom battle has been won. So, the theme of the book of Revelation, the theme of the entire Bible, in fact, the theme of your life can be this. God wins, the bad guys lose, and Jesus reigns. Would you say that with me? God wins, the bad guys lose, and Jesus reigns. In the name of Jesus, who has won for us the kingdom battle. Amen.